And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. It is crazy times here in America. We are dealing with an open border. We are dealing with stolen elections. Tex said it perfectly in his book, Psychopaths. It is crazy times. They are doing everything they can to disrupt our lives, but it should be expected. Tex talked about it, and well, it's here. But today, I want to talk about the ulterior motive that is behind the open border. And I have been doing quite a lot of pondering on this. I received a number of emails, news articles, things of this nature, and for that I am tremendously grateful to all of you out there that send in these items. And the thing that popped in my head, because I know in the Bible it says, love thy neighbor as thyself. In Romans 13, it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So I know that we should be neighborly, that we should care for everyone, try to get them to come to know the love of Jesus, and get them on that narrow path. But also in Proverbs 25. Verse 17 and 18, it says, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. What is happening on our southern border predominantly, but it's also happening on our northern border to some extent, is according to our laws as a nation, is a crime. Now, illegal immigration is considered, I believe, a misdemeanor, but it's still a crime. And I have a number of clips, and you'll hear Bill Clinton say that we are a nation of laws. But when politicians use their position of power to circumvent certain laws, they should be held accountable for it. And I'm reminded of a quote that I heard many years ago, and I couldn't pinpoint its attribution. But good fences make good neighbors. Well, come to find out, it was from the American poet Robert Frost. He has a poem that was published in 1914 entitled Mending Wall. And the phrase is self-evident, is it not? Good fences make good neighbors. You want to have clear boundaries between people and your property. And this will help maintain healthy relationships. When we have clear and definitive boundaries, most people are less likely to encroach on the other side of these boundaries. And I bring up boundaries because all we heard during Trump's administration was going to build the wall, build the wall, build the wall. And then all of the loony leftists went nuts, even though Obama had built some wall. The Clintons had done some things to try to stifle, to slow illegal immigration. But walls are nothing new, not on the border. Do you remember the Berlin Wall? It was a symbol from the Cold War, 61 to 1989. It divided East Germany, which was the communist side, from West Germany, the democratic side. 140 people at least died trying to flee from East Germany to West Germany. The East German soldiers were ordered to shoot at fugitives who tried to scale the wall. Wow. But that's one wall. How about the Great Wall of China? It's more than 13,000 miles long. It is called the longest feat of human engineering. It's over 2,000 years old. It took 1 million workers to build this wall. What was the original purpose of building the Great Wall of China? How about prevent incursions from barbarian nomads in the 3rd century B.C.? 3rd century B.C., they put up a wall. There is a security fence between India and Bangladesh. It is a barbed wire fence. They share a 2,500-mile border, India and Bangladesh do. And the barbed wire fence, did I say it was 1,700 miles long? They're almost done with it. They're trying to curb immigration and smuggling. India also has a 450-mile barrier with Pakistan to keep out militants because of ongoing tension between the nations. Okay. What about on the West Bank, Israel? Israel has constructed a 400-mile wall in 2002 because of attacks by Palestinian so-called insurgents. There's a wall in Northern Ireland. It's called the Peace Wall in Belfast, Northern Ireland. It started off as barricades that were erected by the local communities because of rioting in 1969 between Catholic Irish nationals and loyalist Protestant paramilitaries. Finland has 450 miles of barbed wire to prevent reindeer from wandering across into Russia. Keep their livestock on their side of the border. There is a mile-long wall at Calais, funded by the United Kingdom in France, to prevent migrants from accessing the tunnel under the ocean there that goes from the UK to France. In Morocco, there is a 1,700-mile sand wall fortified and surrounded by millions of landmines built by Morocco in 1975. In more than two decades ago in Spain, the Spanish government built 20-foot concrete barrier walls off Melilla and Ceuta to increase border security against African migrants. In 2014, Saudi Arabia built a 550-mile-long wall with Iraq because of ISIS militants sweeping across parts of Saudi Arabia. Now, here are some audio clips that I found on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and search to your heart's content. A lot of these you may have to find via Google or DuckDuckGo or your search engine option. And do a little digging. It's going to take some work. It took me, I probably put 20 hours of preparation into this program. But the first is Bill Clinton at his State of the Union address in 1995 talking about illegal immigration.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
Now, politicians, and especially Democrats, are wishy-washy on border security. Here's Barack Obama originally talking about a wall and then lambasting it.
The bill before us will certainly do some good. It will authorize some badly needed funding for better fences, and better security along our borders.
The fence is now basically complete. Maybe they'll need a moat. Maybe they want alligators in the moat.
Construction of a 630-mile border fence creates a significant barrier to illegal immigration on our southern land border.
All along, the president's saying, well, I'll do DACA and Dreamers in return for the wall. He's got it. President Trump, if you want to open the government, you must abandon the wall.
That was Chuckie Schumer. Here's Hillary Clinton.
Secure our borders with technology, personnel, physical barriers if necessary in some places.
We will not build a wall. Instead, we will build an economy where everyone who wants a good job can get one.
Are you noticing a pattern? They're talking out of both sides of their pie hole. And here is Joe Biden.
I voted for a fence. I voted, unlike most Democrats, and some of you won't like it. I voted for a 700-mile fence. And let me tell you something, folks. People are driving across that border with tons of everything from byproducts from methamphetamine to cocaine to heroin. It's all coming up through corrupt Mexico.
And the impulse is to hunker down, shut the gates, build walls. Exit at this moment is precisely the wrong answer.
Whatever allows these politicians, especially Democrats, to continue in their political career. So walls are nothing new. Good fences make good neighbors. But Joe Biden and this administration have basically opened our borders. They have allowed anyone and everyone a free pass into this country. And it's not to the betterment of this country. And I'll get to the ulterior motive here in a little while, but it is definitely not for the betterment of America. A lot of what spurred this was the recent border deal that was going through Congress, negotiated between Republicans and Democrats. And I did a lot of reading about comments leading up to the release of the bill. You know, this bill was a lot like Obamacare. What did Pelosi say on that one? You have to wait for it to be released to know what's in it. Well, that was this bill. Now, there were rumors that $60 billion was going to go to Ukraine. But we already know that the oligarchs and Zelensky have siphoned off billions of U.S. aid sent to that country for their own personal bank accounts. How many hundreds of millions of dollars do these people need to live out the rest of their days in luxury? It doesn't matter, because more is better. Same thing with big corporation and big pharma here in this country. The goal of the elite is to have it all, and that's how they keep score. But we want to send $60 billion of taxpayer monies over to Ukraine once again. Wanted to send billions of dollars to Israel, billions of dollars to Gaza for aid, and we were going to send $10 billion for the border. The problem is, it wasn't to complete the wall. It wasn't to increase the Customs and Border Patrol agents that would deter these illegal immigrants. No. They wanted to allow more immigrants into this country. So these agents were to help process the illegal flood. But when it was voted down, Joe Biden came out of the basement and actually held a news conference. I was shocked. I'm sure you were too. He stood at the podium right there in the White House, and he said, quote, "Every day between now and November, the American people are going to know that the only reason the border is not secure is Donald Trump and his MAGA Republican friends." The border is not secure. But what has Mayorkas been telling Congress? Does that mean that he has been guilty of perjury, lying under oath to Congress, that he has continually claimed the border is secure? All the other Liberal talking heads have claimed the border is secure. Well, now Joe Biden just threw them all under the bus and said it's not secure because of Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. There's an article in the Patriot Post written by Gary Bauer, B-A-U-E-R, entitled Biden's Border Lies. I'd like to recommend you find this article. It is an outstanding breakdown. And according to Gary, Biden's remarks should be taken as an insult to the American population. Basically, what Biden's saying is you're dumber than a box of rocks. You don't know what a secure border is. Biden wants these open borders. And if you're a Donald Trump supporter or a so-called MAGA Republican that wants a secure border, you're a bigot. Illegal immigration in this country broke another record last year. And the American population is not happy with this. So what did Biden do? You send Secretary of State Blinken and the Secretary of Homeland Security Mayorkas down to Mexico and beg their president to stop flooding this country. Blinken and Mayorkas probably told Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador, if you don't want to face Donald Trump in 2025, you need to help us get this under control. But Obrador knows that Biden is in a pinch. And I'm sure that he had a very well-crafted response that would benefit him and his allies. A couple days after this meeting between Mayorkas and Blinken and Mexico's president, it was reported that Obrador demanded $20 billion, that's right, with a B, from Biden and into the U.S. blockade of Cuba, lifting all sanctions against Venezuela, and work permits for at least 10 million illegal aliens in the United States. Why would he want work permits for these 10 million illegal aliens? The answer is quite simple. Most of them have family back in Mexico, and they wire money back to Mexico. U.S. dollars. A lot more valuable than pesos. This helps stimulate the Mexican economy. The Senate did vote down this bill, 49 to 50. It will be reintroduced, I'm sure, by a little Chucky Schumer. But it seems the most egregious villain in this negotiation, bipartisan negotiation, was James Lankford, senator from Oklahoma, a Republican. These negotiations were done behind closed doors. Nothing was leaked out ahead of time. It was done for months. Why do you think they did that? Because they didn't want the American people to understand and know exactly what kind of garbage they were putting in this bill. Did you know this bill is 370 pages long? How many people are actually going to sit and read all 370 pages of this garbage? All of this legalese, little snippets here and there that actually become law. The Americans, if they knew what was in this bill beforehand, would have been screaming at their senators to get away from this. When the leak started to finally come out, just as the bill was about to be put out there for everybody to read, that's when the critics started going, hey, you haven't read what's in there yet. How do you even know? Don't believe everything you hear. 370 pages. How many members of Congress do you think actually have read every word in this tome and understood it? Probably not very many. The liberals in Congress would take it at face value because their leader, Little Chucky, said, hey, you need to vote for this, and we're going to tote the company line. But even though the controlled media tried to spin this bill in a positive light, the elites who were behind it, and I'm sure it's George Soros' Open Society Foundation was one of the supporters of this garbage, it still failed because the vast majority of Americans are fed up with this open border. But what is crazy is so many of the politicians that supported this bill are flabbergasted that it was defeated. They have been insulated inside the Beltway. They have absolutely no earthly idea what their constituents and the rest of Americans are feeling when we see what happens across the country with the invasion and the assault on our Constitution by these illegal immigrants. Al Sharpton, on his TV show, was talking with Senator Chris Murphy, one of the jackwagons behind this bill, and he actually said something to this senator that we're being invaded. And what? Here's Al Sharpton.
What is being done to get the public to really rise up in various states to say to their senators that they want to see the borders, the border issue resolved? I mean, you're getting migrants beating up policemen in the streets of New York. You're seeing an influx of migrants all over the country that frankly have people outraged. And couldn't there be some kind of public pressure put in the next couple of days in some of these senator states saying, why are you allowing this to continue? Because at the end of the day, senators have to deal with their voters. And at the same time, it in the bill, you give money to Gaza, to civilians in Gaza and Israel. But the border, I mean, we're looking every day at the invasion of migrants and they're playing a time game with politics on this. Couldn't that pressure put to bear in their home states?
We're dealing with an invasion. Even Al Sharpton recognizes that we are dealing with an invasion. Now, the crisis on the border to these politicians in Congress and Biden's administration is just window dressing. They're looking to send even more money over to other countries, and they're trying to wrap all of this into one bill. Why? Because there's no line item veto. They want to make it as hard as possible to reward politicians for doing what the voters actually want, and those who refuse to, they want to make it hard on people to vote out their brethren from Congress for doing things that the public doesn't want them to do. It is amazing. So here are some of the nuts and bolts. $60 billion for Ukraine, $14.1 billion for Israel, $20 billion for additional border security, $20 billion for border security. So we sent $75 billion, basically, to Ukraine and Israel. But the $20 billion meant for the border security isn't for security. It's to help process these illegal immigrants faster. There were Republican supporters of this. Lankford was one of them. Susan Collins from Maine. Lisa Murkowski from Alaska. And Mitt Rhino Romney from Utah. Mitch McConnell, the leader, the minority leader, actually voted no. But you know the turtle was behind a lot of the shenanigans going on when they were negotiating this deal. Ted Cruz lambasted the legislation because he claimed it would allow 5,000 illegal immigrants into the country every day. Cruz got on Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it, and said, quote, this border bill is not designed to fix the problem. It normalizes 5,000 people a day coming in. That's over 1.8 million a year. That's called an invasion, close quote. Now, the bill did set 4,000 illegal entries a day for discretionary application of the Emergency Border Authority, and 5,000 a day for mandatory application of border authority, which would then engage in Title 42-like expulsions. Title 42 was under Trump. It allowed authority to deport or expel these immigrants until the level reached 3,000 a day. then normal asylum proceedings would resume. Under Section 3301 of Division C, Title III, this is why most people don't read these bills, of this legislation entitled, quote, Border Emergency Authority, close quote, the Secretary of Homeland Security would only have the power to activate the authority on a discretionary basis when there are at least 4,000 illegal entries a day. Still, that's 1.46 million illegal entries a year if the average holds. Any fewer than that, and the President and Secretary of Homeland Security would have no authority to close the border. You get that? There are all kinds of things designed in this bill to prevent the President and the Secretary of Homeland Security from closing the border. This isn't about closing the border. This is a far more nefarious endeavor. But it was doomed to failure once it reached the House of Representatives. House Speaker Mike Johnson, from Louisiana, tweeted, quote, I've seen enough. This bill is even worse than we expected and won't come close to ending the border catastrophe the president has created. As the lead Democrat negotiator proclaimed, under this legislation, the border never closes. The chief Democrat negotiator was the one Al Sharpton talked to, Senator Chris Murphy, claiming that we're having an invasion, but it still didn't deter Murphy from saying the border never closes. There were a flurry of tweets from Murphy from Connecticut. He gloated that the Democrats' promised curb on illegal migration are trumped by the many pro-migration rules. One of them, quicker, fairer asylum process, no more 10-year wait, claims processed in a non-detained, non-adversarial way in 6 months, a slightly higher asylum screening standard at the border. Also, no more waiting for work permits. Most asylum seekers can work immediately. There's a brand new right to legal representation for all migrants. The first ever paid for lawyers for young unaccompanied minors. 50,000 extra employment and family reunification visas will be issued each year for the next 5 years, and a brand new visa category to allow non-citizens to visit family in the U.S. How many of these visa holders go home? Well, according to a lot of reports I've read, not very many. A lot of them overstay the visa and live here for decades. There's also a clarification of how humanitarian parole is used at the land borders. There is a new pathway to citizenship for Afghan parolees. The children of H-1B holders who are subject to deportation at the age of 21 get to hang around. Now, critics of the bill spotlighted sections of text that validated many of their prior warnings. It increases green cards by 50,000 a year, work permits for adult children of H-1B visa holders, immediate work permits to every illegal alien released from custody, taxpayer-funded lawyers for certain unaccompanied minors and mentally incompetent aliens, expulsion authority for a limited number of days only if encounters over a 7-day period average more than 5,000 a day. Restricts parole for those who enter without authorization between ports of entry. There are a number of little gotcha moments in this bill. Now I'm going to have to take a brief pause, but when I come back, we're going to dive right back in. We are discussing the ulterior motive to open the border. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. We're talking about the ulterior motive Behind the Open Border, we've got an outstanding book written by Michelle Malkin, Open Borders, Inc., Who's Funding America's Destruction? Follow the money, find the truth. That's Michelle's journalistic mantra. And Open Borders, Inc. puts it to work with a shocking, comprehensive expose of who's behind our immigration crisis. In the name of compassion, but driven by financial profit, globalist elites, Silicon Valley, and the radical left are conspiring to undo the rule of law, subvert our homeland security, shut down free speech, and make gobs of money off the backs of illegal aliens, refugees, and low-wage guest workers. Politicians want cheap votes or cheap labor. Church leaders want pew fillers and collection plate donors. Social justice militants working with corporate America want to silence free speech they deem hateful while raking in tens of millions of dollars promoting mass, uncontrolled immigration, both legal and illegal. Michelle names names, from Pope Francis to George Clooney, George Soros to the Koch brothers, from Jack Dorsey to Tim Cook and Mark Zuckerberg. Enlightening as it is infuriating, Open Borders, Inc. reveals the forces working to erase America. This is a 468-page hardcover book. We're only asking $28. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $34 for Open Borders, Inc. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. If you don't get us, please leave a message and we'll call you back as promptly as we possibly can. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart. Just go to powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for Open Borders, Inc. right there on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method, hit submit. We'll get it and get this book coming to you. If you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. Open Borders, Inc., $34 postpaid. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. Today we're discussing the ulterior motive to our open border. Currently, our federal government allows 1 million legal immigrants a year. We have set this limit. Well, Congress sets this limit every year. Why do they set a limit? For legal immigration. Because we want the best of the best. You don't want the scourge. You don't want gangbangers. You don't want anybody that's going to be a drain on the services that we have, as well as the well-being of this country. So Congress sets a limit. Right now it's at 1 million legal immigrants a year. But this bill that they tried to rush through Congress supercharges the asylum system. Not because they want to, normal legal immigrants come here because they want the American dream. They want to have a chance to better their lives. But this regime under Biden is pushing asylum. And they have carefully crafted questionnaires for these immigrants at the open border who can claim that they need asylum, they need protection, and can't be sent back to their home country. The huge inflow that this bill would have allowed will hammer Americans' standard of living, and it will threaten the political career of Republican politicians. This bill had a highly touted shutdown trigger. That's what they claimed. They were going to shut down. If it reached a certain number, it would shut down the asylum process. The asylum process would get millions of Biden's 2024 and 2025 migrants into the voting booth by 2030. Now we're starting to get to the ulterior motive, are we not? The bill does nothing to stop Biden's parole migration, which imported roughly 1 million migrants into U.S. workplaces and communities during the 2023 year. Before Biden's administration took over, the parole process delivered only about 15,000 assorted migrants a year. Now we're talking 1 million. But there's also another provision, in this bill. It blocks lawsuit pushbacks by placing all judicial oversight over the migration system in the progressive-dominated D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. This would prevent state and local officials or even American citizens from trying to protect Republican goals and civic priorities from this migration expansion law. The bill also raises the incentive and means for foreign graduates to take more white-collar jobs throughout the United States. Fortune 500 companies already keep a population of roughly 1.5 million foreign graduates in U.S. jobs. This is in part because the federal government already allows a company to pay those foreign workers with dangled offers of green cards and citizenship. But the expansion of white-collar migration comes as many white-collar jobs are being eliminated or downgraded by artificial intelligence. That's part of the problem. They're taking American jobs from American citizens, but there is another more nefarious reason. What about terrorists? Our so-called war on terror could end up being funneled through these open borders right here to America. And consider this. Who is our biggest threat on the world stage? Tex talked about it in Die America Die. Red China. Who do you think is the fastest growing group of illegal aliens coming into this country? This was an expose done on 60 Minutes. You can find it on YouTube and view this 12-minute article or report from 60 Minutes. But I've got a clip here, minute and a half, 2 minutes long. I just picked part of the better part just so you could get a glimpse of it and tell you to go to YouTube and listen to this entire report.
The number of migrants arriving at the southern border is unprecedented. Last year, U.S. Customs and Border Protection recorded 2.5 million instances of detaining or turning away people attempting to cross into the United States from Mexico. So what's the fastest growing group among them? Chinese migrants. Yes, you heard that right, Chinese. We saw large groups, including many from the middle class, come through a 4-foot gap at the end of a border fence 60 miles east of San Diego. The illegal entryway is a new route for those hoping to live in America. Just after sunrise, we saw the first group of migrants make their way from Mexico through a gap between the 30-foot steel border fence and rocks. 30 minutes later, a smuggler's SUV raced along the border fence and dropped another group at the same spot. And 30 minutes after that, another group. Over 4 days, we witnessed nearly 600 migrants, adults and children, pass through this hole and onto U.S. soil unchecked. We saw people from India, Vietnam, and Afghanistan,
Many of the Chinese migrants who came through will end up asking for political asylum. Last year, U.S. Customs and Border Protection reported 37,000 Chinese citizens were apprehended crossing illegally from Mexico into the U.S. We wondered how all of these migrants knew about this particular entryway into California. The answer was in their hands.
How do you know about that? Oh, Douyin. Okay, TikTok.
Oh, you learned on TikTok. Yeah. TikTok is a social media platform created in China. The post we found had step-by-step instructions for hiring smugglers and detailed directions to that hole we visited.
Chinese, illegal immigrants. And she said middle class. The video, you will see, they have some very nice luggage. Some of them flew from China to Mexico. There was one 20-year-old she interviewed who flew into Ecuador because there is no required visa for Chinese nationals to fly into Ecuador. And then he started the trek through Central America and Mexico to get to the border. But middle-class Chinese. One woman, I think, sold her business so she could pay the $14,000 or something like that to come to America. So not only were there Chinese in this group, she said Vietnamese, Afghanis. But when we think terrorist, we think ISIS and Al-Qaeda. What about those from Colombia? On February 6, Border Patrol agents apprehended an individual who admitted past ties to a Colombian group designated as a terrorist organization. This is according to an internal Customs and Border Protection memo obtained by the Daily Caller News Foundation. This is an article written by Jenny Taer, T-A-E-R, at thedailycaller.com. His name is Oscar De Leon Ramirez. And he was among a group of 8 Colombian and Salvadoran nationals in the El Paso sector here in Texas. The National Targeting Center notified agents of his possible record of terrorist activities. And during his interview, De Leon Ramirez admitted his previous role working for the Autodefensas Unidas de Colombia, a group that was previously designated a terrorist organization by the United States government. De Leon Ramirez has pending criminal proceedings in the Western District Court of Texas, according to this memo. Don't kid yourself, this border is wide open. And I'll tell you, in this article, a Homeland Security official who requested anonymity for this article said, quote, "The border is open, wide open. Don't believe the media. Don't believe the White House. Arm yourself. Protect your homes and your families because this joke of an administration isn't doing anything." Close quote. Border Patrol agents apprehended 50 illegal immigrants on the terror watch list between October and December. In 2023, they grabbed 172. In 2022, 98. These are on the terrorist watch list. How many gotaways that are on the terrorist watch list are here in America? From 2017 to 2021, there was a total of 30 encounters with terrorists trying to come into this country illegally. On January 20th, ICE officers nabbed a member of the Somali terror group Al-Shabaab. Authorities released him shortly after he illegally crossed a southern border near San Ysidro, California. This was according to another internal memo that was obtained by the Daily Caller News. There are rumors that there is a false flag event going to happen at the Super Bowl this weekend. Rumors. I don't know. I haven't heard anything, but it's something that, considering the number of migrants illegally entering this country, how many of them are just looking for the American dream? How many are looking to create jihad on American soil? How many are just thugs and criminals? Look at what happened in New York with the two New York police officers being violently attacked by Venezuelan thugs, illegal immigrants. And I posed this question to Leslie yesterday, and it's kind of how I feel about this entire invasion. If somebody comes into your home and you give them a bed and a shower and you cook meals and they look at you and tell you the food is disgusting and they refuse to eat it and throw it on the floor, what are you going to do to this visitor? You're going to kick them out. That's what these illegal immigrants, by and large, are doing to this country. But Eric Adams, the New York mayor, has a whole better plan. On January 27th, that's when these illegal aliens from Venezuela, they say about a dozen, attacked these police officers in Times Square. Five were arrested. Four, thanks to New York's no cash bail policy, were freed without bail 3 hours later. Joan Boada waved his middle fingers to media as he departed the Manhattan court. These four that were released got taxpayer-funded bus tickets and skedaddled to California, the most sanctuary of sanctuary states. But Fox News has reported that authorities grabbed these thugs at a bus station in Phoenix, and they have been apprehended. This event, stacked upon others, has rubbed nerves raw, even among liberal New Yorkers. And it was under this event that Mayor Eric Adams decided it was time to unveil his grand, great giveaway scheme for illegal aliens, or as Adams terms them, our newest Americans. This scam will fatten New York's invaders while starving New York's school kids. Since last May, about 170,000 illegal aliens have been shipped to New York City. A bunch of them have complained about the food that the city serves them for free. Some have thrown their meals in the trash. It's just amazing, looking a gift horse in the mouth. Here is a report on Eric Adams giving free money to these illegal immigrants.
Some migrant families will soon be given prepaid credit cards to buy food and baby supplies. The mayor's office says the city is partnering with Mobility Capital Finance to launch a more cost-effective program. Right now, the city has contracts with food services who provide non-perishable food boxes to shelters. They will start with 500 migrant families with children in short-term hotel stays. The cards can only be used at bodegas, grocery stores, supermarkets, and convenience stores.
We're just giving this migrant population more free stuff at the expense of New York City taxpayers.
In a statement, the mayor's office says, in part, quote, not only will this provide families with the ability to purchase fresh food of their culturally relevant diets and the baby supplies of their choosing, but the pilot program is expected to save New York City more than $600,000 per month or more than $7.2 million annually.
I'm not going to be thankful that a program that was bloated and inefficient is somehow cheaper to just give away free money to people in the hopes that they feed themselves.
According to the New York Post, this pilot program will cost the city $53 million. The amount loaded on the card will depend on the family size. The families who get these credit cards will be required to sign an affidavit swearing they will only use them for food or baby supplies. Those who violate the terms could be kicked out of the program.
So they're pinky swearing that they're going to use these cards properly. Governor Greg Abbott here in Texas had this to say about Eric Adams' wonderful plan.
It sounds like insanity is behind it, because it really is offensive. It may be the most reprehensible thing that I've seen take place over the past 48 hours when you see police officers in New York City being beaten by illegal immigrants in this country who should not be in the country in the first place.
Exactly. Now, Chris Cuomo has revamped his image. He is on News Nation now, the brother of the former governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo. Chris had this to say about taxpayers footing the bill for these illegal immigrants in New York.
In New York City, 70,000 migrants have flooded in over the past year, straining local resources. Washington has been all but deaf to the needs, even though the president is of the same party as the mayor, New York City Mayor Eric Adams, and the governor, Governor Kathy Hochul. So the mayor announced a new $53 million plan to give migrants prepaid meal cards. Adams says this is cheaper in the long run. Critics say, no, it isn't. You shouldn't be spending any of this money, and it's only going to encourage migrants to come to the Big Apple. And taxpayers are going to have to pay for it, and they're going to wind up getting things that the taxpayers who are paying for it can't get.
What a unique opinion. If you give them something free, what about the taxpayers? What benefit do they have? None. It's almost like one of those phone plans or bait and switch that they do for cable services or satellite services. New customers only. I mean, what if you've been with them for 20 years? You get the short end of the stick, but we're trying to get more new people in here, I guess. So is it better to just leave and then come back so you're a new person again? I don't know. But a New York City councilwoman by the name of Vicky Palladino, P-A-L-A-D-I-N-O, Vicky had some, well, typical New York poignant comments.
Wrap your head, if we could, around $9.8 million a day for people who have crossed the border illegally. This is illegal. They did not come in the right way. These are illegal immigrants coming in that we, the hardworking people of this state, no matter where you come from, you're here legally. You're footing the bill. This is wrong. Absolutely wrong. And like I said to you earlier, this has become a bottomless pit and there's no end in sight. It's time to cut it off.
So New York politicians aren't the only ones unhappy with this grab, this scheme. A Chicago alderman named Raymond Lopez was on Fox News and he had this when he was posed the question, how do you see Mayor Brandon Johnson and Joe Biden handling this migrant crisis?
Well, I think that open border Democrats like my mayor and like our president are completely failing in this moment. Regardless of what the Secretary Mayorkas seems to not want to say, this is a crisis. We are seeing a border crisis that is now extending to the backyards of the city of Chicago and our neighboring suburbs. And we are literally inundated with now 29,000 individuals who up until recently were shipped here by bus. Now they're being flown here by private plane into other suburbs who are now importing them into our city. And it's simply not sustainable or acceptable that my fellow Democrats refuse to call out the president for not securing the border and putting an end to the charade, all in the name of increasing immigration in our country. It's incorrigible that we've forgotten about the DACA kids who we promised to give a path to, while opening the back door for all of these not only South American migrant asylum seekers, but asylum seekers from all across the world who know that the border is open and using it to their fullest.
Alderman Lopez was also asked, is this a money grab? And this is his response.
Well, I think the Denver mayor is partially correct. This is about adjudicating these claims and determining whether or not the merits for these asylum cases is positive or negative. Unfortunately for 90% of the individuals coming here, wanting work is not grounds for asylum, which means that they should be immediately denied and sent home. But that's not what these individuals like him, like the mayor of the city of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, are asking for. They are asking for work permits so that these individuals can stay, so that they continue to apply for jobs in the various cities that they're in, and so that those cities themselves can ask for billions of dollars from the federal government to sustain these efforts. This is all coming on the heels of the end of the COVID ARPA 1 and 2 funds, And in my opinion, this is just another cash grab by big cities looking for a backdoor bailout and using the current migrant crisis to achieve those goals.
A Democrat politician speaking truth. Well done, Alderman Lopez. Well done. So what is the ulterior motive? The Democrat Party is attempting to fundamentally change America's demographics to secure what they believe will eventually become an unbeatable coalition of new voters. In 2018, research conducted at MIT and Yale determined that the most accurate population estimate of illegal aliens residing in the U.S. was 22.1 million people. That estimate would now be in the range of 30 plus million. To put that into perspective, if we created a 51st state comprised entirely of illegal aliens, its population would be larger than every state except California. By pointing out that illegal aliens cannot vote, the left claims this whole thing is a racist conspiracy theory. This disingenuous tactic ignores three things. Number one, Democrats have routinely tried to pass some type of amnesty that would eventually allow illegal aliens to vote. Number two, children of illegal aliens born in the U.S. can legally vote when they turn 18, anchor babies. Number three, in 2020, Joe Biden carried Georgia, Wisconsin, and Arizona by a total of 45,000 votes, give or take, meaning that a presidential election could be decided by only 0.15% of the illegal alien population voting in the right states. Now, amnesty and illegal aliens voting probably won't happen. But children born in the United States are considered American citizens, and they are the future of the Democrat Party. This is where the Democrats have gone all in with their chips, the voting youth that are born from illegal aliens. Unless there is a titanic shift in voting demographics, it will become more difficult for Republicans to win elections. Democrats don't need to pass amnesty. They don't need illegal aliens to vote. They need to be patient. Illegal immigration is wreaking havoc on our hospitals, our schools, housing, public lands, and budgets while facilitating a drug epidemic that kills scores of Americans. What do you think Mayor Adams is doing with this $53 million prepaid credit card scam? He's buying votes. Programs like this are a fantastic way to get illegal aliens and their children accustomed to government handouts as soon as they step foot in America, and make sure they vote for the politicians who promise to keep this gravy train coming. We no longer celebrate assimilation in America. It has been replaced by the loony left's tenets of diversity, multiculturalism, and anti-whiteness. As our nation becomes more diverse, tribal politics paid dividends for the loony left, and as racial animosity ensues, our country becomes a powder keg waiting to blow. If the Democrat Party of today were to gain even temporary control of the federal government with a supermajority in the Senate, the damage they would inflict on this nation would be irreparable. Our asylum system, as it is scammed by millions of foreign nationals. It needs to be scrapped. We need to finish a southern border wall, and we need to become a nation that enforces its most basic and necessary feature, its border. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time today. I greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.